الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His guidance, we seek His assistance, we seek His love, and we put our complete trust and reliance in Allah. Because of that deep trust that we have in Allah, we go to Him alone, seeking protection from whatever ideas and thoughts may creep into our minds, and we seek protection from whatever poor choices we have made in this life. I bear witness that there is nothing in this universe worthy of serving, of bowing before, of submitting to, of obeying, except for Allah. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and his final messenger. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah, be conscious of Allah, and be in awe of Allah. In a way, Allah has a right that we be conscious and in awe of Him. And do not allow yourself to leave this life unless you leave in a state of submission, in a state of Islam. Wa ba'd. My dearest brothers and sisters, the last few days have been quite eventful in the Muslim world. Just a few days ago, the Taliban have reclaimed Kabul and control over Afghanistan the way they had controlled it about 25 years ago. And 7 years ago, we had ISIS, who controlled parts of Iraq as well. And both of these entities are declaring themselves as Islamic states who rule with Sharia. Now the Western media, immediately, anytime these events occur, is quick to jump on them and to spin them in a way that suits their agenda. They will use this as an attempt. I remember 25 years ago, the exact same events unfolding about our worries for the women and the children, our worries about Sharia law, our worries about when Islam gets introduced to the world, and this being used to create hysteria and to demonize Muslims and Islam. And the Muslim should always stop and be wise and reflect over the affairs of the world. And the very first thing to say is that the US government and the pundits and the politicians, they do not care about the women and the children of this ummah. Whether they're in Afghanistan, whether they're in Iraq, whether they're in Palestine, whether they're in China, the blood of Muslims is cheap to the powers that be who seek wealth and political power in these regions. Now I say all of this because during this time, what makes the world different today than it was 25 years ago is the advent of certain technological devices that allow information to be spread in different ways. In the 90s, there were no smartphones. The only information you had was coming from the news, which you could write off as being biased in the first place. But now you have every other person, Muslim and non-Muslim or non-Muslim, they're seeing the images, they're seeing the videos, they're sharing their own thoughts and views, and they're retweeting and resharing the other views that are out there. And so some of the things to think about during this time for the Muslim that's from Islam is what is truth and what is falsehood? What is accurate and what is inaccurate? What am I able to discern as being valid and what is invalid? And another change of the world today is that everybody is entitled to their opinion. If you have an account, you can share your opinion. You can retweet someone else's opinion. Which gets at another notion, Islam, not just about what opinions we hold, but the information that we share. So my khutbah, my dear brothers and sisters, today is not going to be about the political events of Afghanistan, and I'll explain why in my khutbah, but about how we think about and interpret the events of the world. Every week, 5 days ago, it was Afghanistan. In 2 weeks, the US will forget about Afghanistan if they feel like it's no worthy speaking about, and they will move to the next issue. And on and on and on, we see the events unfold. We see whether it was China, it lasted for a short period of time. We saw when it was COVID, how that lasted. Now we have Delta, we have this and we have that. There's always going to be new events. And so there's two principles that I would like us to discuss today to ensure that we act in all situations of the world. Whether that issue is a domestic news event, an international news event, pertaining to Muslims or pertaining to public health, that we act in accordance with Islam. So the first principle I want to discuss today, my dear brothers and sisters, is the principle of authenticating information. Because our thumbs are often quick to repeat information, or our tongues might be quick to repeat information. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in the Quran a very important ayah that establishes a way of dealing with information and the wisdom behind it. He said in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. It's a golden principle. Allah says, oh you who believe, it's all of us here in the room today. If information comes to you, any news, whether it comes to you on WhatsApp or Twitter or Facebook or CNN or whatever it might be, Al Jazeera, if information comes to you, especially if it comes from a not so reliable source, a not trustworthy source, which in this day and age, none of those are trustworthy. We know that. Allah says, verify it, confirm it, authenticate it. And then He gives the reason why we have to do this. So that we do not misinform people, so we do not cause harm to people with that misinformation, and then we begin to regret what we have done. My dear brothers and sisters, it seems like every day we get something in our WhatsApp about don't get a vaccine because then this will happen to you. Or if you don't do this, then this will happen to you. And this political event, look at what happened. Look at the Kabul airport. Look at how everyone is running. And then you figure out that was a video of the Dallas football stadium 2 years ago. Right? Again, I'm not here to defend and say the political views. It's just information comes. And people are quick because they want to get in on the action. That I want to have an opinion, I want to share my viewpoint. And we begin to share that information and that opinion. Don't do this. This is what I've learned about COVID. This is what I learned about the vaccine. This is what I learned about Delta. This is what I learned about Afghanistan. This is what's happening in politics. Stop. Take a step back. There's no competition of getting information out. In fact, this is a very American phenomenon. It's actually in other parts of the world, it would be considered ignorant to quickly act upon things. Usually they say you should deliberate and be thoughtful. And so this first principle, to reiterate, is not being in a rush to share information. Because if we do, we actually are liable for that information that we share. Sometimes people say, well, I didn't say it. I just retweeted it. I just reshared it. I just repeated what my friend said. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kafa bil mar'i kadiban." أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. Prophetic principle, Prophet ﷺ said, it is enough for a person, a man or a woman, to be deemed a liar simply if they repeat that which they hear. Now keep this clear. It's not about you actually fabricating the information or me. It's about us not doing our due diligence of authenticating information and just repeating it is enough for you to be considered a liar in the eyes of Islam, in the rules of Islam. So take a break and don't rush to having an opinion, because that opinion may harm people. You'll be responsible for that harm, and then you may regret the harm that has been caused. Which leads us to principle number two. Principle number two is what the ulama have said is half of all wisdom and knowledge. It's again counterintuitive to our culture of today, is being comfortable saying, I don't know. So I started my khutbah saying I'm not going to speak about the politics of Afghanistan today because I really don't know. I do not follow the events of Afghanistan regularly. I am not informed about the Afghani politics. So when people come and say, Sheikh, you're going to speak about Afghanistan, right? Well, we'll talk a little bit about what's happening, but we're not here to give answers when we have no idea. So Imam Malik is the example of this. The great Imam who was one of the most knowledgeable Muslims in the world at his time. The early generations after the Prophet passed away. People used to come from around the world to seek information from him and get a fatwa, an Islamic opinion. And if you ever wonder about, man, should I give my opinion or not? Just think about this statement. A man came to him from the other side of the ummah. Some reports say it was somewhere in West Africa. There's different reports. But a man came from very, very far away. And he comes to Imam Malik, rahimullah, and he says to him, I have come to you with the concerns of my people. I have a laundry list of 40 questions. Imam Malik said, ask. And his students were sitting there, Imam Malik's. And the man, he asked question one, and question two, question three, till he got through his 40 questions. His student narrated that Imam Malik said to 30-some questions, some say 32, some say 36, 30-some of those 40 questions, he replied, I don't know. La adri, I don't know. And so this man who traveled across the world, the Muslim world, he looks at Imam Malik and says, I don't understand. I'm coming from so far, but concerns of my people are here. What do you want me to tell them? I've come from so far. They said, go ask Malik. I'm here to ask you. What am I going to tell them? Go back to your people and tell them Malik does not know. This is a lesson for us, my dear brothers and sisters. I mean, sometimes we think that because we read a few tweets or a few blogs or a few articles or we got a few messages on WhatsApp, we're now informed to make decisions and to share that information with the world. And we have the gold standard of a man who was at his time one of the most knowledgeable Muslims in the world, who had no issue saying to 90-some percent of the questions he's asked, I don't know. And let this be a lifestyle of yours because it protects us from that first principle, which is that if you spread information without having knowledge of it, you could harm people by that, and then you'll be regretful in this life, and of course in the next life, if Allah holds us accountable for that. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ, he was telling the young companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, he gave him a laundry list of advice in this long hadith, and then he told him at the very end of it, he said, shall I tell you what kind of encompasses all of that I've told you? He said, of course. And he stuck out his tongue, and he grabbed it with his hands, vividly, to show him. He said, refrain, hold this back. And so Mu'adh is a young man. He said, Ya Rasulullah, will Allah hold us accountable for the harvest of our tongues? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Thakulatka ummak. He said, may your mom be forgiven. May your mom never have given birth to you. It's an expression that the Arabs would use. He said, what else are people dragged on their faces in hellfire for other than what they have said with their tongue? And I'll add to that with our thumbs, because your thumb now is a proxy for your tongue in many ways. If you click on something and words and information get shared with it, it's as good as your tongue that is saying that information. So the two principles, again, my dear brothers and sisters, in this world of confusion, of deep fakes, I was just watching the other day that there is now technology and even videos can be used, can be doctored to such an incredible accuracy that you think it's a person, but it's a complete manipulation of that person's image, his video, his hand movements, and his voice. So even if you see a video of somebody, not to jump to conclusions with that, because that no longer is going to be valid evidence in the world that we live in today, let alone some random tweet, some random news article, some random WhatsApp message. All of this requires, I don't know, and it requires, I need to authenticate this before I can even have an informed opinion for myself or for others. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who verify the information that comes to us, do not trust the rebellious sources that are out there, and who are comfortable and humble enough to say, I don't know, so that we achieve knowledge and success in this life and the next. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ لَغْفُورُ رَحِيمٌ أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ ذَنْبِي كَمَا لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ فَدَعُ اللَّهُ. The one who repents from his sins is like the one who is sinless. So ask Allah to forgive us of all of our shortcomings and our mistakes. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. My dear brothers and sisters, we are speaking today about the recent events in the world that have led to all kinds of misinformation being spread. Whether it be about COVID, whether it be about the Sharia, whether it be about anything happening, we have to be vigilant what information we are fed, authenticate it, and be comfortable saying, I don't know. But the second part of this equation, or another angle, is not to stop at that and to say, I don't know, but to get informed about things. And so what I want to speak about in the second part of the khutbah is addressing the misinformation about what is Islamic law, what is the Sharia. Because the news media is taking this, the enemies of Islam are taking this, and even confused Muslims are taking this, and they're running with the fears and the hysteria that somehow the Islamic law is barbaric or inhumane. And we need to be very clear, this is caused by this conclusion is achieved by one of two issues, misinformation or misapplication. Either someone is misinformed about what the Sharia is, or is being misapplied somewhere, and that's causing them to become misinformed. So what is the Sharia? Because the Taliban are claiming it, ISIS has claimed it, and the truth of the matter is that people can claim what they want, but our reference point is not what people say, but it is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'll start by saying that yes, we believe in Sharia. Very clearly, we as Muslims do not believe in secular liberal democracies as being the optimal mode of living and of governing our societies. Yes, we live in a secular liberal democracy. We live in it. But this is not our preferred way of living. Our preferred way of living is living by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is essentially what the Sharia is about. The Sharia is a system. It is a way of life that includes our beliefs, it includes our behaviors, it includes our acts of worship, it includes our transactions, it includes our interpersonal dealings, how we get married, includes how I buy and I sell, it includes how I invest, it includes my character. This is all encompassed in the Sharia. And so when we say we believe in the Sharia, what we say and we mean is that we believe that humanity, especially Muslims, we'll start with Muslims, acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. He is the law giver. He is the one who has a right to create laws for us. Because my dear brothers and sisters, there's only two ways that a legal system can work. Either those laws are going to be man-made, or they're going to be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so for the believer, we are in the camp that says we want the laws to be established upon the Quran and the Sunnah. But let us be clear, that does not mean that every single rule of life in the 21st century is going to have a hadith or an ayah. There is not a speed limit that the Quran and the Sunnah give us. There is not a very particular ruling on every single issue. But what the Sharia gives us is a number of principles. It gives us a framework. It gives us the principles that allow us to establish justice in this world, to avoid exploitation, to avoid injustice, to avoid oppression. And so for the believer, when he believes this and he acknowledges it, I love what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he said. It's a very important statement, because theoretically, we believe the Sharia is the best way for humanity to live, Muslim and non-Muslim. Because non-Muslims have their rights in the Sharia. They're allowed to live according to certain rules that are advantageous to them, which non-Muslim societies don't give to Muslims. So as an example, if one is a Jew or a Christian in a Muslim country, in the Sharia country, then they could actually get married and divorce and have all kinds of laws according to their own faith tradition. Islam does not impose the Islamic way on every single person. Yet when it comes to the secular liberal democracy, they say, no, you cannot do anything that you want. We're going to impose our secular lifestyle upon you. And the irony of the hysteria about the Taliban today, again, not absolving them of anything, but these fears that, oh, what are the women they're going to do? They cannot go to school anymore and they cannot dress they want to dress. Have you not looked at France? Have you not looked at France? The hypocrisy of the West to impose and tell people that your systems of life do not allow freedom, when in France to this day, a Muslim sister, once they wear hijab, right, will be barred from education in certain settings and workplaces, so on and so forth. So again, we're not saying that that is Islam, what is happening in Afghanistan, what is happening in ISIS, and their claims to Sharia are only going to be judged by the Quran and the Sunnah. And if they prohibit women from becoming educated, then that violates the Sharia. Right? If they enact any law that leads to injustice or oppression, as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah says, he says, any law, rule that deviates from mercy to oppression, or from justice to injustice, he goes, then that is not from the Sharia, despite the fact what people might say about it. And so the Sharia, at the end of the day, is trying to do five big things in our life that every person, Muslim and non-Muslim, would agree makes sense. Number one, the Sharia is attempting to preserve the sanctity of human life. And again, we look at the US government and how many innocent Afghanis have been killed in the last 25, 30 years, in the last 100 years, when they have been constantly being fought by different powers, Russian or US or previously British. Sanctity of life means in the Sharia there are laws enacted to limit the loss of life, like retribution. If somebody murders somebody else, in Islam there is a capital law, because that will prevent someone from murdering more people. So the preservation of life, or a late term abortion, when the child and the fetus is developed and has a soul, Islam prohibits taking of that life. Number two, the preservation of faith. Number three, the preservation of wealth. So Islam prohibits interest. It prohibits gambling. It prohibits theft and punishes theft, because that violates the fundamental rules of how society has to live. Number four, the intellect of the human being is sacred. So Islam prohibits alcohol and drugs that impair it. So when people say, come on guys, you don't allow alcohol, you don't allow smoking, you don't allow marijuana and drugs, you guys don't like to have fun. Those same Western studies say no amount of alcohol is good for the human being, and they claim to live by science. Yet they will not enact a law that prohibits alcohol, despite the fact they know that it is detrimental to their society. And so Islam says we honor the intellect. So if this is going to mess up your intellect, you cannot use it. And number five is lineage, preserving the family and the lineage, which is why we cannot have premarital relations or extramarital relations, because that violates the principles of lineage and family dignity. So anyone who stops a common sense person who says, well, what is Sharia all about? They'll say, well, our laws are all about preserving these five fundamental aspects of life. People's faith, their intellect, right, their wealth, their life, their wealth, their intellect, their families, their lineages. You would say, okay, that is something which I can accept. The particulars, you might say, you know what, I don't know, like I have argument. But the point is, the Sharia is flexible. It is dynamic. It works in the 21st century the way it worked in 7th century Arabia. It works at any time, any place, because it is not a rigid system of laws. It is principles that allow us to thrive and the world that we live in. And when we accept that, we'll make no mistake, the Muslim will always be loyal and say, I accept the Sharia as the best way to live. Other people might do it incorrectly, and I do not accept that as being, that's not Sharia to me, but I'm still loyal to the Quran and the Sunnah and the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And I know that the Sharia, at the end of the day, is going to give me benefit in this life and the next life, and everything Allah, He asked me to do. And everything Allah tells me not to do, I know it's either bad for me in this life or the next life or in both lives. Because that is what Allah has given us, a system to optimize human success in this dunya and in the next one. Be very clear about that. This is not about being subjugated and being weak in this life. It is about being powerful and ruling and having a society that flourishes in this life. And through that justice we establish in this life, we are rewarded with eternal justice and happiness and joy in the Akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mix amongst those who attempt to bring the Sharia into our own lives personally, who live by it, establishing the laws of our worship and our law and our business laws and our ethical laws and our character, how we deal with our parents and our siblings and our neighbors, our friends and our enemies. In every way, we live by the Sharia. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت إنك تقضي بالحق سبحانك ولا يقضى عليك ولك شكرانا بما أعطيت نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب Allah, we ask you to bring peace and comfort to the people of Afghanistan. Allah, we ask you to protect the poor, protect those who are being displaced, help the refugees, help the general people who are caught in this conflict. Oh Allah, bring them prosperity, give them patience, reward them for their sabr. Allah, allow us to help them, allow us to give to their cause, allow us to give to giving them a decent life, to putting food on their table and putting a roof over their head. Oh Allah, we ask you to help the Muslims who are suffering in Palestine. Allah, we ask you to help the Muslims who are being oppressed in China. Allah, we ask you to help Muslims who are being oppressed all over the world. Allah, we ask you to bless them all. Allah, we ask you to give them patience. Allah, we ask you to give us the strength to speak on their behalf. And we ask you to give us the strength to give wealth, to give our wealth to them to improve the situation. Allah, we ask you to forgive us of all our shortcomings and our mistakes. Allah, we ask you to make us love the Sharia of this faith. Allah, we ask you to make us stick strong to your principles, to love your book and to love the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, we ask you the way you've gathered us here today to gather us in the highest gardens of paradise with the righteous and the martyrs and the prophets. وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكُرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى التراس ويرحمكم الله please keep your line straight keep your hearts focused on Allah سبحانه وتعالى الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون فضلا من الله ونعمة والله عليم حكيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you, Dr. Osman Murji, for an important message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Please make dua for several people, and we also have Salatul Janaza for two people. So make dua for the health of Samia Khatib Hinton, Brother Lahori Siba, Brother Muhammad Ayub, and Sister Rashida Hassan. Also make dua for Thambar Abbas. He's in critical condition in a hospital in England. And dua for Abdul Jalil Muhammad Turam Rahanullah. He's in ICU. Make dua for the health of all these people. And anybody else whose name we have not mentioned. Allahumma shumardana jami'an ya Allah. Allahumma shumta shafi. لا شافي إلا أنت شفان لا يغادر سقما. Make dua مغفرة for brother Qadir Siddiqui, brother Wahid Siddiqui. He passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him مغفرة. And also Salatul Janaza for a brother Muhammad Zamzam, who will be buried in Rose Hill. And we're praying Salatul Janaza now, inshallah. Also for brother Abid Butt, he will be buried in Melrose Abbey tomorrow morning. So have Salatul Janaza for two people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them maghfirah and patience to their families. Also, as you were told in the beginning, situation of the COVID is becoming difficult and you have to take precautions. Be careful, also mask. It's very important to wear and also avoid shaking hands, hugging, so that all precautions are important. And more information will be given to you as things will become more clear, inshallah. We are waiting for the instructions and information from CDC and others. So inshallah, on the basis of that, the decision will be made by our committee headed by Brother Tahir. And may Allah SWT bless all of you. Barakallahu fiq. Immediate family members of the two people who passed away, if you want to be in the front area, please come. Three people in one line. Salatul Janaza has four takbirat. At the first takbir, raise your hands, hold them as you do in your salat. Recite tasbih, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa jalla sanauk wa la ilaha ghayruk. Second takbir, after that you recite Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. Third takbir, after that dua, a special dua for the maghfirah. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina ila akhir ad-du'a, or say Allahumma ighfir lahuma wa rahmhuma, inshallah. May Allah bless them and forgive them. And then four takbir and salam on both sides. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد الله أكبر اللهم الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم اغفر لهما وارحمهما وعافهما واعف عنهما اللهم اكرم نزلهما ووسع مدخلهما اللهم اغسل خطاياهما بالماء والسل والبرد اللهم نقهم من الذنوب والخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم جازهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات عفوا منك وغفرانا اللهم ارحمنا إذا صرنا إلى ما صاروا إليه رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم صبر أهلهم يا رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه